In life, most of us like to think about ourselves as being independent. And Webster defines the word independent as being not subject to control by others, self-governing, not affiliated with a larger controlling unit. And we try to avoid being dependent on anyone. As parents, we strive to position ourselves as we grow old and feeble and as we grow old to not be dependent on our children. We don't want to do that. In the secular world, we realize how much dependency can cause many problems. But some people allow their physical well-being to deteriorate rather than to ask someone for help that they need. Seneca was a Roman statesman who died about 65 AD. And he said, "There is none so great, but he may both need the help and service and stand in fear of power and unkindness, even of the meanest mortals." While uninspired, this observation is quite true. And in honesty, we must say that such has been proven time and time again throughout history. We know that kids are dependent on their mothers for our caregivers. And we understand that the growth of plants is dependent on the sunlight that they receive throughout the day. And the lives of fish and other living beings are dependent upon water. But the idea of dependency is also a problem among Christians today. Many professed Christians live as though they don't see any need for a Savior. They act like, well, hey, I am self-sufficient. And there's no such thing as dependence in my vocabulary. Well, that may be true that they think that. But why is it that we are, in fact, whether we like it or not, very much dependent? Well, one very good reason, and I think this is probably the overshadowing reason of all, is that God made us that way. By virtue of the fact that He is the Creator and we are the creature, thus we are dependent. But another reason why we are dependent is that we all have fears. I don't care who you are or what you think of yourself, but we all have fears of one kind or another. I have lived my whole life in fear of failure. And so that's why I strive so hard not to fail. But we all have fears. Now, somewhere along the line, though, we all need help because we're not sure what to do. This is sometimes the result of a lack of knowledge on our part. We just don't know. We don't know what to do or how to deal with it because we don't know about it. And, you know, there's a lot of things we don't know about. We may think we know a lot, but there's a lot of things we don't know about. Many times there is a lack of confidence in the things that we do know. We may think we've got it figured out, and then we go, oh, just a minute. maybe And so consequently, we become insecure and dependent upon others. Sooner or later, we're going to find out that we have needs that we can't supply for ourselves, and only others can do it for us. You get old, and that's what happens. You know, things that I just never gave a thought to, I just got up and went out and did them. I have trouble getting up, and even more trouble getting out. An impossibility of getting to them. But there are some improper dependencies which we can develop. One thing that people have a problem with is depending on their personality. Oh, I can win them over. I don't have any. Yeah, right. You may think you can, but that's not always true. That's not always true. And some people say, oh, I have willpower. I practice positive thinking. Well, to a degree, maybe. Or there's always the person who says, I have charm, and I will charm my way. They can't say no to me. And then there is the person who depends on the intellectual dependency. Or their attainment, I mean. I have all the answers. And I can prove it. I have a shingle here. Shows I went to college. And then the person, there's always the person who says, I know the right people. I have influence. You just tell me what you want done, I'll get it done. If you know anybody in this city, I've got some stuff with my sidewalk that needs attention. Oh, well, that's neither here nor there. But influence. And then the person who says, I am in charge. I am in charge. They will do what I say. Or shrewd person. Oh, I will figure it out for myself. Or, I love this one, the person who will outsmart them. They depend on trickery. But I'll tell you what you find too often. A person who has a lot of money. Yeah. I'll just buy my way. There's anything. You can put a price on anything. I'll just buy my way. Or the person who has a lot of ability says, I'll just do it myself. Now, do you know what the common problem is with all of these? The common problem is I. Never any admission of needing anyone else to do anything. I will do it. But what is proper dependency? Well, if we go back to the beginning of our lesson, I think we would have to say that proper dependency means always depending on God. Always. Don't ever leave God out of the equation. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah says, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. The sooner we learn this, the better off we're going to be. Why? Because we're going to be using all these other things to try and get things done without depending on anyone. It is God who directs our steps. And Paul, along with the other apostles, admitted in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 that they were not sufficient of themselves, but their sufficiency was from God. There's nothing wrong with being dependent on God. He and He alone has the power to supply all of our needs. All of our needs. But in being dependent on God, we are also dependent on God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, that's Ephesians chapter 2, and reading from verses 4 through 9, Paul writes here, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Now notice the dependency here. "That not of yourselves." Who do you depend on? It is the gift of God. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." You didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. Now this shows the connection between God's grace and mercy, and the contrast between our inability to save ourselves and God's grace, which provides salvation for us. In fact, Jesus pointed out that even when we have done everything that's ours to do, we are still unprofitable servants. Why? Because we've only done that which was our duty to do. Luke 17 and verse 10. I want you to think about that. No matter how good you think you are, and how many good things you've done, when you got through doing them, what had you accomplished? You just did what you were told to do. That's all. So then you must still depend on God's grace to save you through faith. But we move on. We are also dependent on God's word. Jesus said in John 17, 17, he prayed to the Father in the garden, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth. Now, in John 8 and verse 32, he tells us that we should know the truth, and the truth, that is the word of God, would set us free. And set us free from what? From the bondage to sin. That's what God's word is for. We listen to the words of the wise man in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And listen carefully. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. To lean on him means to lean on the truth, which is his word. That's why when we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, we find all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed, literally. And thus it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where's our dependency? It's on God. We trust him. We trust his word. Everything we need. Inspired scriptures will supply everything we need to serve God acceptably. So we must indeed lean on the word of God if we wish to please God. But we learn that there's also to be dependency within the body of Christ. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to take the time to read every word, but in verses 12 through 26, Paul shows here how the body, or how the church, is the body of Christ, and he is the head of the body. Then getting on down to verses 25 and 26, he writes that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Now notice, within the body, have the same care for one another. That's dependency. You know, I mean, as much as I may not like it, my left hand depends on my right hand. Because there's times that I can't do things with this hand that I could do with this one. And it has to. I especially think about opening jars. They both depend on one another. And I'm really having a problem opening jars with this. I'm going to the doctor 2 days from now. Hope it works out. But anyway. But proper dependency, see, that there should be no schism, that is, strife, in the body, but that members have the same care for one another. Now, look at this care. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. As members of the body of Christ, we need each other. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not a solo effort. Not a solo effort in any way. But of course, when I'm talking about dependency, and I like the songs that, by the way, that Edward chose. He did a good job choosing songs that fit. But we are all dependent on Jesus. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know, it says there that Jesus came and spoke to them. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Did you get from that? That Jesus promised to continue to be with all those who were teaching and practicing his will. That's what he says. Now, in 1 Timothy, Chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul tells Timothy that there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, when we have but one mediator between God and man, who do we turn to? We're dependent on him. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we're told by John over here, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, to get the context of this, you need to go back in the context and read the verse that says, if you say you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. You see what the subject is? Fellowship with God. Now, he says, if you want to walk in the light, you have to walk where he is and have fellowship with God, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses you from all sin. How can anyone doubt that we are, in fact, dependent on him? I don't know. There's no way. Without him, we don't have a chance. Oh, that's another song. Just thought of it. Without him. We finally realize our dependence on others for communication. We communicate with God whenever we approach him in prayer. And we do so with one another. And we communicate with God when he speaks to us through his inspired word. But we also have communication with each other whenever we come together to worship God. If you notice with me, please, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What's the admonition here? Exhort one another. We need that. Without it, what might happen? Well, we might become weak. In fact, we could fall by the wayside. We are dependent on one another. But the question is this: upon whom or what are you depending today? Where is your dependency? Is it proper dependence, or do you have eye trouble? At this point in the lesson, you look at self and you make sure that you're everything that God would have you to be. If you're not a child of God, you realize that you can't come into a proper relationship with him until you have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are a child of God, but you are not faithful in service to him, why not repent and ask for forgiveness? Allow us to pray with you and pray for you in full assurance that God will hear and he will forgive.